Hello and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and today is Wednesday, which means we get a small dose of literature and, this season, psychology. Literature Nuggets are just smaller episodes on this podcast that showcase a poem, a spoken word piece, or excerpt from a book that after offers reflection and conversation. The goal of each Wednesday episode is to bounce off that little piece of literature and have a conversation off the page. And you guys know, as usual, I'm super excited to jump in. This season, I have teamed up with recurring guests, my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, in our five-part series on self-acceptance. I like to think of it as a conversation where psychology meets literature. We are so excited to come together, not just as two Black women, but also as aunt and niece, because, you know, we're family, and, you know, just to come together to talk about real issues within self-acceptance that don't get talked about enough. What is self-acceptance? Well, you guys know I've been pulling different definitions of self-acceptance for the intro, and I really agree and relate to them all. And so this one today, I found a definition of self-acceptance from successconsciousness.com, and they define it in, I think, 7 or 8 steps. And so I'm going to go through them with you because I just love each and every one, and they're really important. They said the first one is loving yourself as you are. Number 2, accepting your habits, skills, and how you look. Number 3, accepting your situation and circumstances and stop hating them or getting angry at them. Number 4, having compassion for yourself. Number 5, being less judgmental about yourself. Number 6, self-acceptance means that no one is perfect or accepting any failings you might have. Number 7, stop dwelling on past mistakes. And number 8, embracing who you are. When you accept yourself as who you are, you put yourself in a better position to begin improving yourself. You understand your good and bad characteristics and realize where you need to improve. I absolutely agree with all of this. I agree with their definition. And with this series, Dr. Carol Van Dyke and I are hoping that these episodes will not just inspire you, but, you know, to push you to reflect, as you guys know, to adapt positive habits instead of toxic habits, to ask for help, to start your healing journey if you haven't started already, or to continue it, and to grow so that you can be healthy in your mind, your heart, and your spirit, because that's where true transformation starts, not on the outside, but on the inside. Also, if you all like this series and would like to have more things like this on the podcast for Wednesdays, let me know. You can email me at tatelauren72@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. So that being said, today we are talking about relationships and sex. This is part 4 in our 5-part series of self-acceptance. And because we are a literature platform, it's only right that we start off with a poem. Today we have a poem titled Healing by Neil Jones. And I hope you enjoy and learn something from today's poem, because Neil Jones is a powerful young woman. I love her. I came across her on YouTube, and so I really love this poem. It really, really resonated with me. And I hope you guys enjoy it, as well as Dr. Van Dyke and I's conversation about relationships and sex.
I had a therapist tell me once, it was ironic how much love I gave out, because I didn't give much to myself. She laughed, like self-love was a sick joke. I chuckled and cried at home. I had someone tell me once I could not love anyone else until I learned to love myself. This time I got to laugh. This time the sick joke was mine. It was me. Might as well wait forever. I remember hating myself at the age of 7. Journals filled to the brim with criticisms by 8. I had enough pages to stitch them into wings, to fly close enough to the sun to see my tears turn to steam, felt the wax burn on my shoulders and mold into thick skin. I was 9 when I wanted to die. 13 when I found a solution, figured if I could cut my legs enough, gravity would let me go. When it didn't, I tied a pillowcase around my neck. twisting like the rope swings I knew so well from childhood, heard my heartbeat pound in my ears like a warning drum, then fade. I'd almost convinced myself I'd done it. When I started writing, I smeared my blood on every page to remind myself that everything beautiful has a consequence. I'd hoped to stall the clotting long enough to give myself to the craft and let myself go. I have died so many times. So when I told you that loving you almost makes life worth it, I was not joking. When I tell you that loving you almost makes me forget how much I hate myself, it is not poetry. Loving you is taking all the love I could never give myself and putting it to good use. It is reminding myself that if someone can love a dying thing this way, can hold the Lazarus of my body and give thanks for the weight it holds back, if someone can kiss the scars, administer the pills, absorb the bad days, and wake up smiling next to me, then I can try to breathe again. Because self-love does not always come first, or second, or even ever. But your love be the guardrail on the ledge, be the drawers that hide all of the sharp things, be the body that carries my collapsed frame into bed, be the flowers you bought. Because even though they are dying too, they still dance. Love will not heal me, will not wipe my slate of a body clean. I will always be a woman of wounds, of rope-marked neck and melted skin. Love will not heal me, but it will hold my hand if I ever heal myself, and maybe teach me a joke that I can stay alive long enough to laugh at. I love you enough to want to love myself too.
I hope you guys enjoyed that reading of the poem titled Healing, written by Nao Jones, where she talks about her journey to self-acceptance and self-love. And to continue our conversation in self-acceptance, I have with me my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, to talk about relationships and sex. Dr. Van Dyke is a resident psychologist for Fox 2 Detroit and WDIV Channel 4 and has been featured on Living the Life and Let It Rip, where she discussed all various issues on mental health. She also hosted a teen show called Teen Voices for Real on 90.9 FM. She has over 20 years counseling with children, adolescents, and adults with various issues. Dr. Van Dyke maintains a private practice in Livonia, Michigan. So welcome back, Dr. Van Dyke.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So today, just jumping into, the myth of sexual freedom and the belief that young women think that they can have sex and no emotion, this has been very impactful for me to see this disbelief pour out into my, as I've been an observer, just seeing it in my life, because I've had a lot of peers who have always been, very sexually active or getting into relationships. And really, to be honest, they're not even relationships anymore. It's just hopping into bed with one person here and there. And them thinking that they are gaining a certain sense of freedom, that they, that they found something great. But then what I always say is, when you talk to people a little bit longer than 5 minutes, you realize that they have a lot of issues that are tied to having sex whenever and however you want to, with whoever you want to. And a lot of those issues are, emotional baggage, self-esteem issues, they're broken on the inside from sexual trauma that they've never talked about with anyone. So just these different root issues that has been, glossed over with this idea of sexual freedom. And then the fact too that nobody knows what sex actually is, because, in the world, obviously you don't expect it to, but in the world, it's not going to be in the way that God created it to. So it's very perverse and just very saturated with a lot of things that we don't need. So I want to bring you in on this conversation and hear your thoughts.
Well, Lauren, we are very passionate.
Yeah.
We have a nonprofit together called We Rule.
Yes.
We respect, unify, love and empower each other and ourselves. And that's our nonprofit. So I want to start off for those who have been in broken relationships and have difficulties with self-esteem. You can go to we-rule.org.
Yep.
Because I think that's important to say that, because that's going to share a lot of information about, talk about, it's going to highlight what we're talking about today when we're talking about the sexual freedom. I think you said it best when you started out in your opening. Is it freedom?
Right.
Or pain? Is it pain? Is it trauma? Is it daddy issues? Mm-hmm. Is it toxic mother? Mm-hmm. Is it, it's a lot of different areas coming from pain. Don't get me wrong, viewers. I know I don't want our listeners to think that, oh, I don't have to be in pain because I want a whole bunch of sex. It could just be rebellion. It can also be a form of rebellion. Yeah. I seem to think that a lot of it stems from, you know, pain from relationships, early childhood experiences. Mm-hmm. Women have a desire to be loved and close and connected with the man because they didn't have a father in their life. There's so many different reasons.
Yeah.
But this sexual freedom of, I just want sex and I want to be like the male, where I can just have my body and spread it around any and everywhere, is sad.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Lauren, I ask a lot of women that I have counseled over the years, when you wake up in the morning, do you ask yourself, what I did last night? I get some women that can sleep with 2-3 men in one day. Get up, ask yourself, am I proud of myself?
Yeah.
Am I proud of myself? Do I admire myself?
Right.
Do I admire the fact that I just slept with 3 different guys? Mm. Or the fact that a guy bought me a $5 drink and I'm taking off my top?
Yeah.
Do I really admire myself? And Lauren, the one thing I want to say is men haven't changed. Women have.
Yes.
Men are not going to bring a promiscuous woman to meet his mother.
Yeah.
They're not going to bring a they're not going to put a ring on a woman who has been around the block and this sexual fluidness and sexual freedom. Men are not going to. That's what we realize has not changed. Men are going to say, okay, yes, I'm going to sleep with you, a warm place to put it. But after that, I'm going to go on to the next girl. Nothing quality is going to come out from a guy with a woman who disrespects and dishonors her body.
Yeah.
And that has to be a question that a young woman has to have.
And I want to bring up too, because I know people who are listening to this probably are automatically were like, you know, it's not about the guy. Cause this is it's really a false reality. And I'm not trying to say it always has to be about the guy, but you know, this whole belief of this, you know, in quotation marks, freedom, you know, they say, you know, okay, I don't care about the men. Why am I only trying to be, you know, somebody's wife or somebody's girlfriend? I'm just doing me. You know, that's the thing. And it's like, well, first of all, you're having sex with another human being, so automatically it's not just about you. Second, a lot of people who have, you know, a lot of sexual partners and have this type of living, they're also, you know, they're also looking for respect, for people to respect them through these actions. And I'm sorry, but that's just not how it works, because you can't be sharing your body with everybody, which is sacred. I don't care if you care about virginity or not, your body is sacred. It was designed to be. And you can't, right? And you can't you know, go around sharing it with everybody, thinking that you're sharing just your body, which is already enough, but you're sharing what's inside your body, you know, your, and I mean that in a spiritual way, as in a, you know, actual what's in your body as well. So, and then you're looking, you're trying to look for respect and love through that. That's just not the route to get it.
I totally agree with you, Lauren. And yeah. I think the woman who says, I don't care, I don't need to be in a relationship with anybody. It's mm-hmm. just about me, just yep. having sex and just me. I will tell you, when you start out telling a lie,
yeah.
you believe the lie mm-hmm. and then you live it. Mm-hmm. You lie to yourself. I count a ton of women where I go there with them.
Yeah.
They say, yes, I don't really want the guy. And when I start asking questions, and one of the questions really that I ask is, mm-hmm. when you give your body away, the body is the temple. And I know people who are not in the Christian family may not understand that, mm-hmm. but even from a worldly perspective, you are dishonoring your body when you allow everybody up in it.
Yeah.
It's your temple mm-hmm. when you're Christian. Your body is the temple. So it's a sacred place that you don't allow anybody else to enter until you're married.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of broken girls who don't understand that concept.
Yeah.
I like to say the same-sex parent is the most powerful role model.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same sex. So that's fathers and sons, and that's mothers and daughters. If you have a mother, because that stems from somewhere.
Yes.
The girl that sleeps around and says, oh, well, this is no big deal. Right. It comes from something.
Yeah.
And I am encouraging a young lady to ask herself, where does it come from? Where did this come from? Why is it that I don't have a problem with giving my body away to multiple people?
Yeah.
That is a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And when I say the same sex parent, I come from a mother who was very, very, very strong willed. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying strong in terms of feelings, because I always tell people strong and feelings are not in the same lane.
Yeah.
But when I say strong, wisdom. She's a single mother after she divorced my dad,
mm-hmm.
and she had five children and I have four sisters.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I remember my mom always drilling in my head, respect your body.
Mm.
You have morals and you have values. Don't you allow a man to use and take advantage of you. Now, my mother wasn't even in the church.
Yeah.
Growing up. She was not in the church at all.
Wow.
But it was a value that she put on carrying ourselves as ladies and being able to behave in a way where we respected ourselves. And I don't think a lot of these women, young girls, are getting those type of examples at home.
Yeah.
If you don't have an absent father, you have an absent father who's not in your life, and a strong mother, because that mother, the same sex parent, is the most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can turn out pretty decently.
Right.
If you have a mother that's out there trying to get her groove on, she got boyfriends, and I'm not saying this in judgment.
Yeah.
I'm saying it in the sense of brokenness.
Yes.
If you have a mother who's getting her groove on and trying to have sex, and she's hanging out more than her daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she got a boyfriend spending the night and sleeping over to the house, and if that relationship didn't work out, the mother is bringing another guy in and sleeping overnight at the house and going out and partying, and where do you think a young girl is going to learn that from?
Yeah, that's true. I agree. And
so, yeah, it's sad, but I think that a young woman should confront her behavior.
Yeah.
Like I said in the previous show, you know, many Black women, like the mothers, they are taught to hide and deny pain. And when you hide and deny pain, the more inappropriately you will behave.
Yes.
So if a girl is sleeping and, oh, I don't have to have no boyfriend, I'm just, I can sleep with this guy, that guy, it's just what I want to do. Guys do it. I want to do, I would like to, I just want the listeners out there, if you have a friend, ask the friend, mm-hmm. what type of relationship do you have with your father?
Yeah.
What type of relationship do you have with your mother?
Yeah, because you're gonna get some stuff. Because it comes from, like you said, it comes from somewhere.
It's just not out of a vacuum. It's coming from somewhere.
Exactly.
But most people, you don't know it because you're in it. You sometimes close and in something, you don't have a clue of knowing that the way I'm behaving could be pain that I never dealt with or confronted. And because sex serve multiple purposes.
Yes.
People think sex could be, okay, I'm stressed out, I'm overwhelmed, I'm distracting, I'm avoiding. Yes, it can be, I want to be close and I want to be connected. It could be a multiple thing. It serves multiple purposes. And I'm talking about, you know, for girls and guys, for that, you'd get the guy that.
And I've heard all of those.
Sleeping around with different girls every day. It's like, okay, that could be anxiety.
Yeah.
Anxiety wrapped up in, oh, okay, all this sex. So I'm into the sex.
But right.
It could all be damage and anxiety, pain, trauma, and sex is a way to lessen the emotional problems that a person may have.
Yes. And then I just remembered too, like I was just thinking back to, like, you know, what was it, the last boyfriend, whatever, I've never had sex, but, you know, in this relationship specifically, I was just like, you know, I don't want to have sex and I'm not going to. And and it's just like, you know, people are like, why? And I'm like, first of all, you know, it's not something I ever really wanted to do. But also, you know, I was raised, you know, Christian, as I still am. And even though I always tell my mom, because, you know, she said one very important thing to me and my brother when we were growing up. And she said, you know, just look out into the world. Just look at people and observe them and see if that's the way you want to live. And I looked out there and I was like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. And so when I got into, you know, my very first relationship, whatever was after that, but I was like, you know, I made a point to say that I don't want to have sex and I'm not going to, like I stated before. And I remember a specific time in college when multiple young women came to me because they tried to sleep with my boyfriend while we were together. And they came to me because they were so confused. They were like, why on earth isn't your boyfriend sleeping with me when I'm offering him something that you're not? Wow. And yeah, and that was huge for me because I was like, and also, you know, I don't subscribe to jealousy and all of those things. I was always my own person. And so I was like, I'm not doing all of that. You know, you're handsome or cute or whatever, and I know people are going to be on you, but that's not my business. That's not my thing to take on. I'm only responsible for myself. So, you know, I was like, you're going to go out and people are going to, you know, like, you know, people are going to go out and try to, you know, be with you and sleep with you. But they, you know, however, some women found my phone number, some women did something else, you know, and I just had so many things come up where they were like, what are you doing? Why is he so stuck to you? And you're like, not putting out anything, you're not giving him anything. And I'm like, maybe because he's just here because I actually respect myself and it's genuine and it's authentic. And he's like, she actually means what she says. It's not a tease. It's not a joke. It's not a game. and she knows the value of herself. Now, he just saw that. I'm not saying every person will, but it's definitely worth it, because I tell a lot of people, if you just say, I won't have sex with you, a lot of people will just leave automatically.
Yeah. And I love that.
And do you want somebody like that around?
I love that. And I love what you said in terms of, you know, the value in you.
Yes.
That's just, that is it. Knowing the value in you.
Yeah.
And I think that from just what I see, just in my practice, mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of young girls, a lot of mothers nowadays are spending the time to even teach their daughters what valuing themselves is and what it looks like.
Yeah.
They don't know. Because, I mean, and nowadays, you know, sex isn't taught to be, it's a special bond. It's something that's instituted for a husband and a wife, a bond between that marital relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not about just feeling good in the moment.
Yes.
And that is the distinction between the worldly feeling good in the moment and Christianity, which is, we share this bond for a lifetime. It's supposed to, it would be, God knew what he was doing when he instituted that.
Yes. He created it. It was his idea.
He created it. Yes. And now we've gotten into this generation of, let's have a drink, let's have dinner, and then let's have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Drink, dinner, sex. And then we go from a drink, and not even a dinner nowadays. It's just a drink and sex.
And then you have what I call them drop bys. You know, oh, he just dropped by for some. And then I told him to get out. Like, what? How is, oh God. That's a poison.
I talked to a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Guys my age and guys your age that says, I don't even want to sleep with her.
Yeah.
And she's begging me to sleep with her and asking me what is wrong with me because I choose not to sleep with her.
Yes.
I have guys telling me that.
Yes.
Female listeners, if you're out there, the guys are, you know, they're not digging it. They just think it's kind of crazy too now.
And people just go along with crazy. You know, you know what I mean? Like, even if they didn't want it, but sometimes it's like some people can back away, but other people are just following along because that's just what's going on. It's like, I don't even really want to do this, but I've just been doing it for this amount of time because it's here and I don't even got to work for nothing.
You don't have to. Yeah, exactly. And that is the part that really saddens me. And I want to add, the other part that saddens me now with the generation that's going on is the hookup, the shack up, the knock up, and you walk away and break away, and then you tear it all over again. You hook up, you shack up, you knock up. And that's the new thing now.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's
hooking up, shacking up, and getting pregnant, and then you break up, you move out, you divide and stuff. A baby doesn't have a father. The mother is young and she's still out there still trying to get her groove on with the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is happening?
Yes.
It's what is happening. And I think for a woman who thinks that it's okay to dishonor herself and her body by lying to herself that she doesn't have to have emotions. Women have emotions. And yes, is this, that's just lying to yourself and not being honest.
Yes.
What's really going on with you? And I would encourage a young woman to ask herself, what is this about? Why is it that I don't care enough about my body where I am just going to just give it away and think that it's nothing wrong with that and think that a guy is going to respect me afterwards? A guy doesn't respect you.
Yeah. And then, like you said, it's, you know, it's that whole instant gratification thing. I think people, from high school, from like ninth grade up until, you know, maybe like the second year of college, you know, people were always just kind of asking, not aggressively, because as you get older, people don't, you know, certainly really care about what you're doing. But in that, you know, I would always get enough people that were like, why aren't you having sex? It's such a great thing. And I'm like, you don't even know what sex is. So how are you going to tell me or try to persuade me to join something when you don't even have enough evidence to back up your lifestyle and the way that you're doing it? You're not happy. You're not satisfied. You had to sleep with like five people to have decent sex, whatever, with a certain person. And so you're telling me to go through the same wreck that you've been going through. And so I never found anything that was, you know, that was glamorous about it, as people like you to think. And that's where that freedom comes in, fake freedom, you know, false reality, to this idea that, you know, we are okay. We are, you know, doing our own thing and doing whatever we want. And that's true. You can do whatever you want. God gave us free will. But whether you know it or not, you feel that you have the flesh and that you have your spirit. And, you know, for those who don't know, but your flesh does whatever it wants to do if you allow it.
Yeah.
And it will have you in all sorts of situations.
That's true.
And what I always say is, you know, just like the scripture says, I mean, the devil makes things just look so beautiful. And then guess what? He's like, oh, I'm going to get you in this situation. And then, okay, bye. I'm leaving you with all the consequences. So something that looked glamorous and what looked like freedom, now you in chains and got depression, all these different things. And that may be what the person that you slept with has, because not only are you sexually connecting yourself with someone, you're spiritually connecting yourself.
Yes, that's huge. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right about that. You are so right. And I love the fact that you said a false reality.
It is. Yeah.
And it really is. And I think that that is something that I don't even think a person that's involved in behaving the way that they are behaving even realize that it is a false reality. That's mm-hmm. what lie to yourself to convince yourself that it's okay.
Yeah.
And the convincing yourself that it's okay is you have this, oh, it's just not damaging me. Oh, it's just what I want to do. And oh, no big deal. And really it is.
Yeah, it is. And I've always, you know, I've had guys and I mean, I've had women try to sleep with me too, but you know, I tell them, because a lot of times I don't know. I haven't really even talked to people in this way anymore, but but before I knew that, you know, it was a bragging type of thing, you know, for many women. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a man or a guy, you know, to be like, this is how many people I slept with. Oh, I'm getting with her. I'm getting with him tonight. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and people wonder why I wouldn't want to be a part of that, why I wasn't in their bed, why I wasn't trying to like hook up with somebody in their group. And I would just simply say, I would look at them and I'd be like, why would I want to be with someone who has no self-control?
Yes.
Because that's what it is. And people don't look at it like that. And it's like, if somebody nice with anything, if somebody not even nice or good looking, now it was to the point where if somebody was willing and offering, you would be following them to get down, because you literally cannot control yourself. Like, you are just hopping. I'm like, why would I want to be with somebody? You literally can't even control your own body. Like, I get that it's hard, but why would I want to put myself in that environment? And no one really had anything to say.
Wow. And that's really a good point. Why would I want to be with anyone who doesn't have any self-control? Yeah. I love that. But you know what's very honorable, and I really do thank God, is that my mom, your grandma, was able to have enough wisdom to be able to teach us self-respect and not have sex and not dishonor our bodies. And let me say this, and even when I was your age and when I was in high school and all of that, I did not have sex at all. Yeah. And I would say that one of the things that I found to be, and maybe the women who have this sexual freedom don't know, is when guys don't appreciate anything that they don't have to work hard for.
Yeah.
And if a woman lays on her back in 5 or 10 minutes of the conversation or have the drive-bys, mm-hmm. they're not being respected at all. They're just not being respected. And a man will respect a woman who does hold herself and have standards mm-hmm. and have, you know, standards and boundaries and say, no, I'm not sleeping with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving my body up. And I do get some people, young girls that I know that are like you, Lauren. I'm so excited. And you know, the number one thing that they say is pretty much what you're saying is, I don't want to deal with the pain that's associated with it.
Yeah. I'm like, what is, because my thing is, what is it costing me?
Yes.
A whole lot. Because
a whole lot. Yeah.
Like, you know, and then like which is funny, but you know, I've always been a planner. And so even because I always tell God this, and I feel like, you know, we would just laugh together, me and God, but I said, God, even if, you know, and by your grace and mercy that I have you, I said, even outside of God in a certain instance, you know, I would always think about like, you know, high school and different things where you were still like living with somebody, especially high school, because you're still living with your parents. And, you know, people would, you know, obviously wait for their parents to go home. I mean, you know, leave the house and then have sex and like sneak their boyfriend over and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what would that cost me to have a guy come over in my own home when my parents are gone and you're not even the person for me? And now after you leave, I just have memories of you being here in my own space. So not only did I degrade me, but I degraded my home and my own room or wherever I had sex, because now if the situation just blew up, as most cases did in high school, I would just have memories of that.
That's all you would
haunting
have.
Haunting me.
That's it, Lauren. And that's all you would have. And at the end of the day, you would have to answer the question, do I really respect myself?
Yay. Right.
If I would have done that, and thank God that you did it, and you drive the point home.
Yeah.
When you're saying that, because nothing at the end of the day, I don't care how much people want to lie to themselves. Mm-hmm. You deep down inside do not respect yourself when you have sex with a lot of people. And, mm-hmm. and like you said, okay, why would you want to do that to yourself?
Yeah.
There's nothing, no memory, nothing positive that's going to come from that.
Yeah, because all people have to tell me is, ooh, it was good. But that's it. That's usually where the sentence always ends. I'm like, so that's it? I could have ate a piece of pizza for that. Like, I didn't need somebody in my soul trying to, you right. know, just because it was right. good for however long or however many days. I'm like, that's it?
That's it. I love it.
So that's usually my response, and people don't, you know, literally people don't even talk to me anymore about it, which I love, because I'm like, that's it? That's all you had to tell me, though?
Yes. Like, I love that.
And then and what I found hilarious is, you know, I would tell people how, I said, you know, if I had sex, first of all, I would have to be married. And I always tell people, I said, first of all, I would have, because they say, well, what would it take? You know, girls and guys always ask me this, and they say, what would it take, you know, for you to like start having sex? And I'm like, I would have to be married. And I say, you know, it would have, you know, and you know, just in the things in terms of that, but it's like, you know, you're caring for that person. They're your partner. They're who God designated me to be with. And I said, you know, it's destined. And I said, sex is, you know, designed to be a worship in the way that God created it. And so, you know, people hear these definitions and they're like, oh my God, you know, and they're like, what kind of sex are you talking about? And I'm like, what kind of sex are you talking about?
but it goes back to, you know, you, my sister,
yeah,
you have a mom that poured into you.
Yeah.
It's this, we talked in another show about the generational,
but yes,
positive generational, where my mother had wisdom. She poured it into her four girls. Yes. And then two of us had children, and then we poured it into our children. And I think that, and the pouring in into is the fact that you have enough wisdom to honor yourself and your body, because you have a mom that poured into you.
Yeah.
God gave your mom wisdom because she got it from her mom.
Yes.
And that's how we can learn toxic things. We can also carry over positive things.
Yes.
And this is something positive. And I'm so honored that you're my niece and that you have listened to all of the teachings of your mom and from God, that God gave to your mom and your mom, yes. mom and dad.
Right.
And still, I love your dad. So bring him out. Mom and
right.
dad. And how they both instilled those values and beliefs and morals into you.
Yes.
And a lot of women, unfortunately, don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And so, you know, just in our last few seconds, but I do really agree with that. And like you said, you know, for all the people who have heard those questions throughout this segment, to ask yourself, you know, as you're saying, Dr. Van Dyke, you know, to ask yourself, what were you saying? Can you repeat those questions for the end?
just asking yourself, if I am engaging in this new sense of freedom.
Yeah.
Like what you said, when I wake up, you know, what I love what you said, it's just a memory.
How do yeah. you,
it's a memory. And the only thing that you're going to get is, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
That's something that you're going to respect. You're going to,
yes.
Do you admire yourself? Ask yourself, do I admire myself? Ask yourself, where is this coming from?
Yes.
Where's this stemming from? If I'm going to be completely honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
and you come up with some answers, if you're being gut-wrenching honest about yourself.
Yes. Yes. Got to get down to the bottom of it. I absolutely agree.
Because there's a root cause.
Yes.
Whether it's trauma, whether it's daddy issues, whether it's mom issues, whether it's any type of abandonment issues, you can get to the root cause.
Yes. Well, with that, it looks like we are out of time. And I'm so glad. That was very, I mean, even though I'm not dealing with these issues, but it was very good to talk it out. And thank God. And just talk about it with you for our listeners who very much are, and, you know, or have been in certain situations or circumstances or are still in them. And, you know, just working to find a way out. And, you know, maybe they got a little bit more clear at the end of the tunnel where it's like, oh, okay, there's the light. Maybe I can get out from this way, this end.
Yeah. Yes.
So do some once stuff. Again, yeah. Right. So once again, I just thank you for being here, and we will be back for our last episode, you know, Walking in Purpose. All right. Wow, I really enjoyed that segment. I'm so happy that we focused on these two topics under relationships and sex. And obviously, it was very impossible to talk about all the the conversations that we could have had under relationships and sex. But I'm glad we talked about, you know, just breaking the myth of sexual freedom and the fact that people think they can have sex with a whole bunch of people all the time or at any time and think that they're soul or, you know, their spirit is kind of intact with their original design and how they're meant to be. And so I'm glad that we brought these topics up because, you know, some people, it's hard for them to go there or it's hard for them to ask questions. Like Dr. Van Dyke was saying, ask those questions to themselves and to really get to the root of why they are acting the way they are. So I'm really excited that we had that conversation. I'm just really excited to share that all with you as well. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I hope these conversations are just causing you guys, you know, like I've said in the other previous episodes, but that they're caught, that these conversations are causing you all to think about your life and experiences that you've had. But also, I hope these conversations encourage you to start talking about it really with yourself first, you know, really doing that self-reflection that we talked about, really getting those words on the page or that art on a canvas, or, you know, the songs and the mic, you know, however you express yourself to really get those emotions out, instead of going to the toxic habits that you've had in the past or that you have now that have not been serving you well, and changing them into a positive, changing them into actions that are wholesome and are healthy for you, so that you can really see true transformation. And so, you know, Dr. Van Dyke and I wanted to come together this season so that you all are empowered and encouraged to start to make real change in your life that is not only beneficial to you, but other areas in your life as well. And, you know, as the examples we gave, you know, friendships and your relationships at your job and in college, what you do with other people affects other people. I know that sounds really simplistic, but a lot of people really do not believe that or think that. They're just like, I'm doing what I want for me, and it's just, you know, it's just for me, and it's just gonna affect me, and it's about me. And it's not, you know, even the things that we do privately are shown out in our actions when we leave our home. So those are the things that we want you guys to think about. And these topics, these conversations in this series are meant to help you show up for yourself in a way that you never have before. And I hope you keep tuning in, because we have, oh, I think we only have one more Wednesday left, and we're going to be talking about walking in your purpose. So stay tuned for that, because next Wednesday we will return for our last episode. And yeah, like I said, to discuss walking in your purpose. And you really don't want to miss that, because that is so important. And I felt like that was just such a, it is so important. And I feel like it's such a great way to end our 5-part series on self-acceptance, because once you, you know, have learned to accept yourself, then how do you start walking in the purpose that God has for you? How do you start achieving those things that only you can do, that you only were put on this earth to do? You know, we all are unique and have special gifts and talents that God put inside of us. And that includes our flaws and the things that we think are weird and stupid or crazy. God doesn't think those things. He thinks that they're special. He put them there for a reason. And so he wants to use all of you. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in Walking in Your Purpose, and just how to get every last drop out of your existence here, because it is for a reason. I promise you guys it is. And whether you've been here since the beginning or you just started listening, thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. If you want to know more about Dr. Van Dyke or book an appointment, you can contact her at drcarolvandyke.com. And that's drcarolvandyke.com. It is also in the bio. For all updates on the next topic, you can turn on your notifications, add this episode to your favorites, and subscribe. For any general updates on the podcast, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. That's LaurenTateBooks. And LinkedIn and Facebook at Lauren Tate. Lastly, you know, don't forget to share this episode with someone and on social media. I also think, too, that that walking in your purpose will be the last episode of the entire season. So really, really make sure you guys don't miss that. And like I said, you know, just turn on your notifications and add it to your favorites. And I know a lot of people download the episode, so download that episode if you really need to get that into your spirit, into your mind, and, you know, just start speaking those things over yourself and really walking into what you can walk into, what God has for you. And lastly, just, you know, never forget that you are important, you are loved, and your story is worth being told.